today our scripture lesson takes us to John's Gospel in the first chapter, the verses 29 to 42. But before we read God's Word, let us again bow for prayer. O God, we know that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and correcting, rebuking and training in righteousness. We pray that your word would be so for us this morning as we look and listen to it now. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Listen, hear the word of God from John's Gospel, chapter 1. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he declared, "Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Well, we've made it to the 19th, and I ask, how many of you are still making progress with your resolutions? Show of hands, anybody? All right. Hang in there. Hold on. January is half over. But I ask, how are we doing so far in the new year? It seems as though time has accelerated as we pass quickly from Jesus' birth on December 25th, to his stepping out to fulfill his mission and calling here on January 19th. Our heads may still be spinning from the holidays, and Jesus' words challenge us when he says, "What, or perhaps whom, are we looking for?" It's a new year, it's a new decade, it's a chance to make a fresh start. And Jesus begs the question, what or whom are we looking for? To set our story in context, we know that John the Baptist had come ahead of Jesus with his ministry of repentance and baptism, and he had a growing following who were believing with John that God was about to do a new thing, that God was about to send the Messiah, the long-awaited Lamb of God, the one foretold by the prophet Isaiah, the one they knew would come someday to take away the sins of the world. John, the gospel writer, describes John the Baptist's realization and revelation of Jesus' baptism, where he realized this is the one. The signs which God had given him were fulfilled, and he said, "This is the one that we've been waiting for." As John realized and understood this, he knew that his ministry of preparing the way would be shifting, drawing to a close, because here was the one they'd been waiting for. And he knew that it was time to begin to encourage those who were following him to follow Jesus instead. John's gospel repeats John the Baptist's identification and confirmation of Jesus two times, which means it must be really important. It says in verse 29, "The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and he said to his followers, 'Look, or behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" It's as if John is preparing his fledglings to leave the nest. And if they have a look of distress, he says it again in verse 35. "The next day John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed to his followers, 'Look, or behold, here's the Lamb of God.'" And when Jesus noticed that two of John's disciples had fallen in behind him, he turned and asked them, what are you looking for? To which they responded, "Rabbi," a word which means teacher. And then the text followed their address. They said to him, "Where are you staying?" Jesus replied, "Come and see." Kind of seems like an odd question of where are you staying. But the disciples went, they no longer followed John the Baptist, and they began following Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one that they had been told would take away the sins of the world. Now consider this. It fascinates me that in this encounter with John's disciples who were falling in behind him, he did not make them take an aptitude test. He did not make them complete an application or present a resume to begin following him. He simply said, "Come and see." Jesus meets us where we are, but he calls us to leave where we are in order to come see who he is, where he is, and what it is that he's doing in the world. Jesus was often called a rabbi and a teacher, and though Jesus taught a lot through stories and parables, he taught even more by having people follow him and then showing them by example who he was. He taught by his words, but also by his actions, how he interacted with people along the way. To each one of his disciples, you'll hear him say, "Follow me," or "Come and see." Well, what did the disciples go and see? They saw many things, if you think ahead in the story. They saw firsthand as Jesus changed water into wine, as he healed the blind and raised the dead, fed a crowd on very little resource, walked on water, stood up to religious leaders, and so much more. So in John's gospel, Jesus' ministry begins with that question, "What or whom are you looking for?" It's a question that's worth wrestling with as individuals, as congregations, as communities, as denominations, since our answers will have a great deal to do with what we find as we go after him, as well as the journey of discovery that we take in order to get there. When Jesus poses this question to John's two disciples, who have just learned that Jesus is the Lamb of God, they are determined to follow him and see what it's all about. And before the story moves very far, we learn that others are also looking for Jesus, but these others have very different reasons. The crowds, we'll discover, are coming to find Jesus to have their bellies filled with a little bit more bread. while the religious authorities of the day are coming to find Jesus because ultimately they want to kill him. One group seeks life a little more. The others seek death. But John the Baptist's two disciples want something different than either the crowd or the religious authority. They want to follow him and know him and see who he is and what he's all about. So they ask him, "Where are you staying?" And that Greek verb that is translated staying, it's a word that's minnow, not like minnow that you fish with. It's M-E-N-O. But it has a deeper meaning than just what's your physical address of the home in which you're staying. It really means, where are you abiding? Where are you remaining? Where are you enduring, continuing to dwell? Something with a sense of permanence and stability. This is the same word that Jesus will use later in John 15 when he says, for us to abide in him as he abides in God. When he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches, abide in me. It's that same word, meno. So when the disciples ask, where are you staying, using that word, there's a deeper question than just the location of his, where he's sleeping or where he's going to be teaching on that day. They're really asking about this abiding question. Where will we be with you in the long run, Lamb of God? John had pointed his disciples towards the Lamb of God, the Messiah. And so they very much want to redirect their lives to follow the Lamb and to stay with him, to abide with him. So the question again surfaces, what are we looking for? Or who do we need in order to touch the core of our being and to address the heart of our need? Where do we place our trust? Our answers to those questions might help inform our session as to the mission and ministry direction of Celebration Church in the coming months. Jesus' answer is, come and see. That's a great way to invite a neighbor to church. What's it like? You say, I love my church. Come and see. You don't have to make false promises. Just say, come and see. Indeed, Jesus' answer captures the primary message of John's gospel. If you want to know the Word made flesh, follow the Lamb. If you want to know what love looks like, follow the Lamb. If you want to experience God's glory poured out for your salvation and for mine, follow the Lamb. If you want to abide and endure, live in his love forever, follow the Lamb. If you want to know what God looks like, follow the Lamb. So John's gospel says the disciples came and they saw and they stayed. So what's it like to stay with Jesus for Andrew and the other disciples? All I can say is it was life-changing because they did not turn back. And whatever it was that Andrew experienced in the presence of Jesus that afternoon, it was so compelling that it led him to run back to where his brother, Simon, was and say, you've got to come with me. We've met someone that you need to know. We've found the Messiah. The following, the coming to see, the staying with Jesus was so powerful in the life of Andrew that he couldn't keep it to himself. It was too good a news not to share. And so he goes and tells his brother, and he brings him to Jesus to see who Jesus is firsthand for himself. Friends, as we lean into this new day, this new year, this new decade, with a reminder of our call from Jesus to follow him, how far are we willing to go? Are we ready to embrace, to abide with him, to dwell with Jesus more deeply than ever before? such following for you and for me in this new year can be life-changing for us. And it can also lead us to go and share that good news, to invite others to come and see for themselves. Will you stand now for the charge and benediction and closing hymn? Friends, there's a rhythm that seems almost organic and relational to this call to follow the Lamb. Jesus calls us, we go and investigate, we stay with Him for a while, and He begins to change our lives in such a way that we say, this is just too good not to share. And so we go and tell, and we invite others to come and see Jesus, and then they in turn experience a transformation in their life. And they too go and tell others to the end that all may come to know God's love by following the Lamb. Now go into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.